Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, text 1:10. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Bhakta Sangha Parla Prabhu Tunhare Milan Vrindateva Srila Prabhu Loya Bhaktadan. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees met Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. The Lord then sat down in an elevated place with his devotees. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat at the foot of the elevated place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, although everyone asked him to sit on the same level as the Lord and his associates. They did not do so. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksu Mritam Yena Sesmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sita Tanya Namo Vishnam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Tadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Pancha Topa Tirubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sherborne, Massachusetts. It's about 30 minutes west of Boston. It's our 10th annual. It's an informal conference of young scholars. We started 10 years ago. Jayadvaita Swami and Prajunda, they also attend. And now there are, I think, 4 professors. Vijayamani just got a professorship, lectureship for Sanskrit at Brown University. And one person, Ryan, is a professor at North Carolina. And Kamiki Ram is a professor at Mississippi State. And Mahamuni at Bridgewater State outside of Boston. And we had some discussions. Eka Chakra, who studied for his PhD in ethnomusicology, is doing his thesis on Bengali kirtan. He did a presentation on the Pandyavali style of kirtan, including films that he took from his visit to the Jayadev Mela at the birthplace of Jayadev Goswami. Probably 500,000 people come there. And very, very interesting. They just have nonstop, I think, of his Padyavali kirtan. And it was really interesting to see the depth of the culture of Krishna. That's actually the history of that, is that it started at the Keturi festival. The Keturi festival is right after Lord Chaitanya disappeared. Narottam Das Thakur had a festival in Keturi, and that's where they established the original horny Thai deities. A lot of Krishna deities that are in Brajmohan in Vrindavan. And that's where the Krishna consciousness movement was initially organized. Janavamata was there, and the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and it's described in those kirtans. Lord Chaitanya personally appeared. So it was there that Rupa Artham Das Thakur actually established the Padyavali style of kirtan. I really didn't know much about it, but it was amazing to see. Very, very slow and classical style, where they introduce first Garanga Lila. And, you know, they have two expert Madanga players and a singer, a backup singer. And there's one lady singer, and she's just exceptionally graceful. And sometimes they kind of act out the pastime. And it's a particular style that deals a lot with, it's called a lop or improvisation. Sometimes three words, they can just expand in their meaning and spontaneously express their sentiments and understanding of the pastime, which in one sense has a historical precedence in the way Vaishnavacharyas would. The way Vaishnavacharyas would write about Radha Krishna Lila when people were actually realized, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the whole Radha Krishna pastimes is based on five chapters of the Bhagavatam. I mean, that's probably less than 200 verses. And they would meditate on words. And they would have deep realization and expand the pastimes and their understanding of the pastimes in that way. So it's kind of like that. But it was really just interesting to see the culture and the depth of the style and how deeply people were into the Gaura Lila. And then it goes into the Krishna Lila from there. And that's also the traditional way to enter Krishna Lila. We understand Krishna Lila is the 10th canto, especially in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I've explained this many, many times, that our general hearing process is prejudicial. We make a lot of judgments based on our past experience. And especially dealing with the forms of male and female, our past experience is mundane. And when we hear those things, we tend to project our own conditioning and sentiments about what they are, when our great teachers told us that they actually have absolutely nothing to do with the mundane relationship of man and woman as we know it. Marge, I'm going to go in another room. Let's just see these things. Okay. It's because it's so much concentration. I hate to do this, but okay. So similarly, it was so beautiful. And this lady who is dancing, they have these very slow moves that indicate like Lord Chaitanya dancing. I mean, it's really very, very powerful. But they begin with Garanga Lila because that's the way you enter into Krishna Lila. Because the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart is the mood of Srimati Radharani. And in that meditation and focus and mood of service, that's how you enter into someone's heart. So entering into Radha Krishna Lila for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is entering in to the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by our worship, our glorification, our faith, our trust, faith, sangha. Sangha means, so you open your heart. You open your heart and trust then someone else may trust their heart to you. And that's our process of entering into Radha Krishna Lila. We open our hearts to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is why Srila Prabhupada so much stressed the service of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he was focused on the goal, and he knew that this was so essential. This opening of the heart, this trust, this faith. And faith comes from following the example in life, the example in teachings of someone who embodies the truth. Because when you follow that person, then you realize the truth. Tadviri paripatena paripashnena sevya upadekshantite. Just approach Tadviri paripatena in a completely surrendered way. Tadviri paripatena paripashnena sevya. And you render service. And prashnena sevya. And you inquire. Inquiry is an act of humility. Submissive inquiry is an act of humility. You're approaching authority in spiritual life. Anyway, it creates this kind of channel, and then the understanding comes. So it was very beautiful how it was done. We saw that. And then Kasturba gave a summary of the novel he's writing, which is extremely, very, very interesting to spell down. I'm not going to say any more about that, but he wanted a novel to express some of the conceptions and realizations he has in commuting to Krishna consciousness as he teaches around New York. And thought he can do it through a novel. And this morning we'll have an analysis of one verse of the Upanishads by Pradyumna. It's such a pleasure to be with. Okay. Any of you around on Tuesday, I'm going to be speaking at the Bhakti Center. I think it's 6:15, 6:30 begins the kirtan. Should wind up speaking by 6:45. Okay. I'm still into this wonderful lila that we're studying. I may have to end a little bit later, and you'll excuse me sometimes the difference I did, but I probably have to be downstairs no later than 10. And so we have this wonderful lila. Devotees, yeah. This beautiful concept that God appears as his own devotee to get love of Godhead, which is in the heart of the devotee. Reasoning that experience of being and pleasure of being the lover of God is a higher experience in terms of pleasure. Being the object of the devotee's love. The lover, the devotee, enjoys more than the beloved or God. It's just a fact of rasa or fact of relationship that we enjoy more to love than to be loved. Although they're both highest pleasure, they're just different. So God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to complete this mission, is going to Puri, a very, very sacred holy place, and there's reasons why he goes there. But to make a long story short, really get to where we're going, is he, as he's going there, then naturally the devotees want to be with him, because this is how we advance. When you love, you want to be with someone, primarily to serve them, but also to get that love of service in your heart that's transferred in that type of intimate association. It's powerful. Sangha is powerful. It's the key to devotional service, to trust those whom are worthy of trust because they have pure love within their hearts. And to be with them, to serve them. Shushu shro shudatanasya vasudeva katamachi satmahatsevana vipapunyati. By that service, shushu shru shudatana vasudeva, then you get that vasudeva katamachi. You get that taste for hearing about God, for chanting about God, and that taste of hearing and chanting about God is exactly commensurate with the amount of love you have, because that's the main symptom of love and devotion. Main symptom of love and devotion is that you like to chant and hear about the object of your love and devotion. So they're coming. They're coming to get that ruchi. They're coming to get that taste. For service, for love, for chanting. And the object of their love is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none different than Krishna. And they want that sangha, and I can't stress that enough, that that's the real important aspect of advancing in spiritual life. So they're following the devotees, and then one devotee, Rupa Goswami, he comes a little bit later because his brother dies. And now he's in Puri, and Lord Chaitanya had met him, and Lord Chaitanya was extremely impressed with him because he not only had this inspiration, but he had the talents to express that inspiration. And not only the talents to express that inspiration, but the devotion to work hard to do it. And probably when I think of Rupa Goswami myself, I think of the most extraordinary person who has love of God and has so much to offer. He's offering himself, and he has this incredible attitude of humility and service. It's devotion expressed. Your heart expressed, your trust expressed in the desire to serve. And in any relationship, if you really love, it's expressed in the desire to serve. And when a person experiences your heart through your service, they gain great trust. And then they give you their heart. And that's called relationship, intimate relationship. He has intimate relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so impressed with him that he's taking all the greatest Vaishnavas of the day to meet him. And as Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said when we were talking about in one Gaudiya Math, there was one person that was very prominent, and then there was another person. He talked about the other person. He said he's no slouch. So Rupa Goswami says he's no slouch. What to speak of no slouch? Rupa, I don't know how to use that word, describe the negative, but he's so extraordinarily talented that if you ever saw his poetical skills, you would faint. You would absolutely faint. So here, what Chaitanya is bringing, the topmost, the greatest of all the devotees, just to meet him and to hear his poetry. And what we see here, they would not sit with the others. If you look at the CC, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of the life force and immortality, that character of is genuine humility. Our inherent self, when it is uncovered, the genuine self, when it is uncovered, is pure. I love that statement by Prabhupada. The purified state of a living entity is called a devotee. A sectarian conception means one who loves God. That's who we are. That's what we're meant for. That's our dharma. That's what we're meant of, and that's what we're meant for. It's called a devotee. So that inherent nature is extremely loving. And the expression of love is intricately connected, not even intricately, constitutionally connected. That expression of love is connected with a heart of humility. That he's humble. He has all this power, all these talents, but he's not an illusion. Illusion means to see what's not there, and what's not there? That we are great. Constitutionally, we are great. I described the body. The body is the angi. It's the possessor of the limbs of the anga. The angas are not great. The angi is great. We're the angas. We're the parts of God. We are not great by our constitution. In that sense, in the sense that we have entitlement for enjoyment and control. We have entitlement for service. We have entitlement for service. The hand, the relationship with the body, what's prominent is the desire of the body. The hand is to serve the desire of the body. The hand's desire, independent of the body, is not important. Its desire in relationship to the body is important. So, God is the universal body, the part of that universal body. So, Goswami, he has that realization. And you understand that. You understand that what we have, is not ours, because it's changing. Our wealth changes, our beauty changes, Our strength changes, our fame changes, our talents change. They're not ours. We have to be trained in them, or we may be born with them. But still, they were trained in a previous life. They're not ours. And the inspiration to use them is also not ours. So, he's humble, even though he has great qualities. And he does not deny that he has great qualities. He's humble. Because they are bestowed upon him by grace. The object of mercy cannot be proud. Because mercy requires an object of mercy. It means you have need. So here it's a beautiful example of humility. It's not in his spirit, despite his accoutrements of power and everything he has. It's not in his spirit to move towards the center. And therefore, he also shuns praise, which is an acclamation that you are in the center. So it's a very, very, very beautiful thing, humility. You know, I've been struggling, really trying hard to find a definition of humility. Because that clearly separates it from codependence and a lack of self-esteem. I was thinking, because, you know, humility means modest. It means acceptance of a lack of qualities, etc. But a precise definition is neither too exclusive. It doesn't cover aspects of the thing you're being described. Or is not too inclusive. It includes things in the definition that are not meant to be described. So I kind of came up with an understanding of happy dependence. Humility means dependence. What is dependence? Dependence means an acknowledgement of need. That's humility. Humility is an acknowledgement of need. And an acknowledgement of something greater that can fulfill those needs. And to be happy about that. Low self-esteem, you're not happy about that. You think you're lacking. You acknowledge you have needs, but you're not happy about that. Because it's not about love. Dependence, real happy dependence is about love. Happy dependence is the child who is sheltered by his mother. The perfect example of love. The child needs the mother. And the mother maintains the child. Child, therefore, loves the mother. His dependence is his expression of love. And therefore, so happy in that relationship. So humility is happy dependence. You're satisfied to be small. God wants to be small. God wants to be his own devotee. God wants that position. He wants to experience that love. That love is happiness. And pride is the egotistical conception that wants to deny that need, deny that dependence. It's a dualistic and illusory position. And therefore, it's not full of satisfaction and happiness. So we see here in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, happy dependence. Because we are dependent. And there is a shelter. And when you connect those two, that's love. And that classic example, the hand and the body. When the hand serves the body, it's nourished. The energy is coming from the hand is dependent on the body. And the reciprocation of that dependence, which gives the hand what it needs, is nourishment. So what we need more than anything else is the energy of love. And that energy comes to someone who acknowledges their dependence and need in God. And people who have that conception, it's such a beautiful thing. Such people think of others before themselves. They're always serving. They're never trying to accept praise. And when such people chant the holy name, because when they're chanting the holy name, it's not about themselves. They're not chanting from the holy name from the position of being in the center. They're chanting the holy name as an expression of devotion and need. And when such people chant the holy name, there's such a beautiful energy of love coming from them. That by hearing such people, the love in your own heart is invoked. So it's so nice seeing Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. They want to be in the position where love flows. Purva shloka para rupa prabhu agya kaila achitena pare rupa mona mona darila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to read the verse they had previously heard. Rupa Goswami, because of great shyness, did not read it, but instead remained silent. He may have qualities, he may not have qualities, but that mood of dependence just doesn't let his consciousness go to that position. I remember, because I speak sometimes about Dr. Fakir Mohan, very learned scholar, but when he would give class in Govardhan and Jadunda Swami, myself, and Keshavarti was there, he would bow down before us, and we would bow down. He would hold our hands with affection and says, "Bless me, I know nothing." Now, did he know nothing? No, he knew a lot. But what he knew was coming through him. Because of his desire to serve, he never had that sense of independence, my scholarship alone. Because then you can even speak Shastra, you can even speak Rasa Shastra, but no one will feel the love. Conviction is carried in words. So Sri Damodar Goswami recited the verse. When all the devotees heard it, their minds were struck with wonder. And then he chanted that same verse, "My dear friend, now I've met my very old and dear friend Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. I'm the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan." After hearing this verse, Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Without your special mercy, how could this Rupa Goswami have understood your mind?" Mercy means it comes without your, it comes beyond your qualification. So no one has the qualification to understand the mind of another person. You don't have the qualification. It can only be given by the mercy of another person. Especially when we're talking about a person who is deep, especially when we're talking about a person who is exalted. This is the key to bhakti. We have to attract mercy. And the first thing we need is humility, but the recognition that we are in need of mercy. We feel we're in need. What does that mean? We feel we're in need. We feel we don't have. It's a humble position. We have to reflect very, very carefully. Even if we have abilities, they're extremely relative. And they're coming from God. So we need, just think now, our struggles, how we're mirrored in the material world, how we can't give up our habits, how we're so conditioned despite hearing so much, how our hearts are bereft of love. We have to have need. And that expression of need will be the first budding of love. Because that need will enable us to experience the mercy and love of God, which will inspire the love in our heart. And once we feel that, we'll never want to get let go of that conception that I am in need. And people say, you're great, you're great, you're great. Your response is, no, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need. Some of them say, sit high, sit high, sit high. You'll say, no, I need, I need, I need, I need. I'm not qualified. So when they hear the verse, which is the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they realize that one can only have it if it is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart was melted by Rupa Goswami, and how did he melt his heart? By service, by need, by his expression of service, his humility. Srila Ramananda Roy said that previous Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered his heart so that he could express elevated and conclusive statements to which even Lord Brahma has no access. So he got the mercy. Empowered his heart. Empowered his heart. Inspired him. Inspired him to serve. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, they say it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feeling. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Rupa, please recite that verse from your drama, which upon being heard makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away. Tunde tandabani vritim vitunate tandabali labdaye karna kroda tandambani vatiyate karnar vibhudye spiham. Keta pangana shangani vijayate sarindriyanam kritam. Jani Janita Kiyabir Amritai Krishneti Varya. Do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna produce. The holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. You then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the ear hole, the holes of the ears, you desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind and the senses become inert. All the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Ramananda Roy, heard this verse. They were all struck with transcendental bliss and were struck, filled with bliss and struck with wonder. Everyone admitted that although they had heard many statements glorifying the holy name, they had never heard such sweet descriptions of those of Rupa Goswami. Anyway, the class is a little bit rushed today because I have to attend the lecture downstairs, but I'll say what we're coming to now is probably one of the most exciting parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Ramananda Roy, who is himself one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, asked Rupa Goswami about his drama. And you'll learn, just a little bit learn, about the components of drama. And you'll see in Rupa Goswami's answer his expertise at expressing the most incredible emotions and the incredible qualities of Krishna and the most ambrosial expressions of love in such an incredibly poetic way. Okay, I have to go now. If just a few people want to say hello. And I'm sorry I can't continue any longer. Such is the life I have now sometimes, but try to do my best. Yeah?
Maharaj, I just have to tell you so quickly that I had an amazing Super Soul experience because I specifically wanted you to describe humility. Oh, that was going to be my question. and you did such a thorough job of it. You know, it was so exciting to hear you describe it, answering a question that I hadn't asked you, you know? And I came away with understanding that humility means enjoying needing God. It was really nice.
And what that means, right? Enjoying, but what that means, it's something is so much beyond us, so much greater than us. We're so dependent on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also,
and you only enjoy you only enjoy dependence out of love.
Uh huh. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And only also enjoy dependence out of love. Yes.
And you gave me the silver lining too to feeling bereft of love, you know, because in this position, I have the opportunity to experience mercy if I should ever get it, you know. So that was really nice too.
Gail, one day you will realize all the mercy you've received. Okay.
Thank you, Gail.
That was very encouraging for me because you know how I am. I have a certain standard of the class, and then sometimes when the circumstances are not so right and I haven't been able to prepare to the degree I want and I'm rushed and things, I feel a little forced, but somehow something good came out. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Nanda Dulo. I can't wait to see you next week.
We are also, Maharaj, and excited, you know. Maharaj, short question, you know. Sharanagati, we need, you know, we should be humble, but we should be meek also, right?
Humble means meek.
Okay.
Means meek. What's the difference?
Semantically, you know, little difference, the words, but...
No, there's no difference. I mean, meek is an expression of humility.
Okay. So we are excitingly waiting for you, Maharaj.
I am excitingly waiting to have that shock.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That kind of shock, I can't even pronounce it, that made Krishna take birth as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I have to go to the class. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Hare Bo. Radhe Radhe. Who else wants to say Hare Krishna?
It's Henry.
I know. How can I?
I couldn't Henry. Resist. Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all. Hare Krishna.